first take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz. We'll start the hour as we do every single hour with some important headlines you absolutely need to know. Rafael Nadal has said that they should just scrap the 20 season. The 2020 season, if he had the option, should just be canceled and everybody can look at resuming normally in 2021. The second-ranked Spaniard, 33 years old, who's won 19 Grand Slam titles, said he hoped to resume playing this year but doubted it could happen because of the coronavirus pandemic. His quote, "I would sign up right now just to being ready for 2021. I'm more concerned with the Australian Open than what happens later this year. I think 2020 has been practically lost. I'm hopeful of being able to start next year." So we'll see what that means for the tennis community in general. A little bit of NFL news here. Frank Gore signing with the Jets per agent Drew Rosenhaus in a move that figures to reduce Le'Veon Bell's workload. The Jets agreed to terms Tuesday with Frank Gore on a one-year contract. Gore turns 37 May 14th. He's the third leading rusher in NFL history. He'll be reunited with Adam Gase. Remember, Adam Gase coached Gore with Miami back in 2018. They also worked together all the way back in 2008 when Gore was with the 49ers and Adam Gase was a low-level assistant there. And lastly, on your headlines, UFC women's featherweight title fight was scheduled for this Saturday is being moved to June 6th. Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer will not happen June 6th. The title fight was originally slated for Saturday. It's now slated for the promotion's next pay-per-view event. That would be next month. That's according to sources. You can check out the article by Ariel Helwani on it on ESPN.com. First take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, presented by Jason Fitz. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you whose legacy has been affected the most because of Michael Jordan. Good, bad, either way. 888-STAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Getting a lot of different calls on it. We've had calls for Scottie Pippen, both negative and positive, amazingly. We've had calls around the Knicks. We've had calls around Charles Barkley. I want more of your take. Whose legacy affected the most, negative or positive, because of Michael Jordan? 888-STAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Don't want you to forget the All-In Challenge fundraising initiative continues, and it's offering sports experiences that you can bid on or enter to win. And it's all to support organizations providing food to those in need, particularly kids, the elderly, and frontline workers. There are some great enter-to-win opportunities closing soon. Enter-to-win, think of it like a raffle. So if you go out there and you look and you see auction items that most of us can never afford, that's okay. The enter-to-win experiences are like raffles. 10 tickets for $10. I think it's 200 tickets for $100. You can go out there and buy raffle tickets and still get enter-to-win crazy cool things you could never experience otherwise, but you can do it in a way that you can still afford and make a difference. There's an ultimate ESPN experience that closes tonight. The winner of that sweepstakes gets to spend a football Saturday with College Game Day and spend another day with the Sports Center crew of their choice. I happen to have traveled with Game Day last fall, and the Sports Center crews are all buddies of mine. This is a really cool experience. It's once in a lifetime. Game Day will make you feel like family wherever you go, so you don't want to miss that. Closing Wednesday, a cool NHL Winter Classic experience for you and nine friends. You get to go behind the scenes, meet some of the players, and watch a game from a suite, which is awesome. Thursday, the final day for a chance to play 5-on-5 with David Beckham or a chance to have your name called in the 2021 NBA draft. I would kind of love that just for everybody to be confused as I walk across the stage. Remember, 100% of the money, 100% of the money raised benefits organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate, you want to learn more about how these organizations help, get out there. If you can do anything, everything you can do helps. You can visit allinchallenge.com. We'll get more of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, whose legacy most affected because of Michael Jordan. But before we get there, got a little bit of quarterback conversation coming in. And it comes in the form of Cam Newton. We've seen Teddy Bridgewater obviously signed a backup deal with the Saints. Now we've seen Andy Dalton quickly take a backup deal with the Cowboys. And it leads to at least an interesting conversation about what's next for Cam Newton. This is a debate I've had with many of my friends. I was glad to hear it today on First Take, as Stephen A. and Max disagree on whether Cam Newton should accept a deal as a backup quarterback somewhere or should he just sit out a year?
Hell no. Absolutely, positively not. He's Cam Newton, for crying out loud. And number two, and more importantly, his success has never been predicated on his ability to throw the football completely accurately, or not completely accurately, but significantly accurately. As Max has pointed out on numerous occasions, under Norv Turner's stewardship as the offensive coordinator in Carolina, he completed 67% of his passes. Prior to that, Cam Newton only completed better than 60% of his passes one time in his career. One year he was exactly at 60%. Another year he was at 61%. The other 7 years or so, 6 to 7 years, he was below that. And so the reality is that he was still successful because of his ability to run with the football, move the chains, chew up the clock, et cetera, et cetera. His athleticism was definitely applauded on numerous occasions. We all know that he led them to a 15-1 record. I believe it was in 2015 and got them to Super Bowl, even though they lost to the Denver Broncos. We get all of that. And so if you're Cam Newton and all of those things are attached to your resume and it had a lot to do with your level of success, then it's really about not just you throwing the football. It's about how healthy you are, how athletic you still are, how hungry you still are, etc. I think he'd be better off sitting out the year if necessary and then coming back after next season or waiting until somebody gets hurt and then landing someplace else. I think the Chargers should call him now. I think he'd better be off. I think he'd be better off doing that than accepting a backup role anywhere. Cam Newton is not a backup at this point in his career. There's no reason for him to accept such a demotion.
Well, I disagree. Cam Newton, I believe, still has an MVP caliber season left in him, at least one. I think he can be an elite quarterback again. Is there precedent for a top guy, the best player in football? Cam Newton was the best player in football at one point, to become a backup. Well, something like it, Stephen A. I look back at Kurt Warner. Now, he wasn't drafted first overall like Cam. The expectations are different and all that stuff. But he was at one point the best player in football. He was the MVP. And he was a superstar. And because of injuries, it wasn't always obvious at the time, but it was obviously eventually recognized that because of injuries to his hand and then an MCL, all these things, he was not, he had to demonstrate that he could stay healthy, and Mark Bulger took his job with the Rams. And then what did he do? He signed with the Giants. Now, he started, but the Giants had just traded up. I mean, they traded Phillip Rivers and the pick that would become Nate Kading, who was a Pro Bowler, and Sean Merriman, who was a beast, in order to get Eli Manning. So clearly, Warner was going to a team where even if he started, it wouldn't be for long, and that's what happened. What Warner had to do was just go somewhere and establish that he could still be the same player, that he was still healthy. The issue with Cam is injury. You want him to go to the right situation. Even if he's backing up, Stephen A., people will know if he in practice, etc. Is he healthy? What are the reports on him? Does he look good? Does he look like the old Cam? A backup job with a team like the Ravens, you know, where they have RG3 and he's kind of like a poor man's version at this point of Lamar Jackson and all that. I get that. But Cam would be an even better approximation in terms of his impact on the field at this point. If he went to a place like that where you have a chance to play if there was an injury, but otherwise could spend a year, like you say, sitting out, essentially doing the same thing, but really establishing himself again around the league, his reputation and all that, I think that would be good for him.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Here's the hardest part about the conversation with Cam Newton. I can understand why we've seen some dip in performance, some easy questions around Jameis Winston. I can see why we can look at Andy Dalton and say, you know what, Andy Dalton may or may not be a starter. I can understand both of those situations coming to fruition and why both of those quarterbacks would and should take backup roles. I can understand that. In fact, I argued loudly with Mike Golic Sr. on Friday on Golic and Wingo when I was on about the fact that I thought it made sense for Andy Dalton to take a backup role somewhere so he could get his world right and so he could sort of reclaim his image. That's not the conversation we are or should be having around Cam Newton. If you take out the injury aspect of this, there is zero reason to believe that Cam Newton is anything other than a high-level starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, even if you don't love Cam for whatever reason, you look across the board, and since he became a starter, yes, his rookie year 6-10. Since then, he's been above or near 500 every year of his career. He's coming off of a year when he was healthy where he still completed 68% of his passes for almost 3,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 13 picks on a Carolina team that wasn't necessarily stacked. I understand that there have been several injuries for Cam Newton, but Cam Newton's play, if healthy, does not support the play of a backup quarterback. Cam Newton is a starter in the NFL. So now suddenly you have to ask yourself, what's better? Is it better to be around the league and be a backup somewhere, maybe get a little bit of mop-up time? I don't know. I mean, I understand. And look, my logic with Andy Dalton was he could go somewhere, and if he got some time on the field, if he has great weapons around him, he can show people that he still has starter-level capabilities. I understand all of that. If you're Cam, you don't have anything to prove other than health. And if nobody can poke and prod you until you get close to the season, are you not better just waiting for an opportunity to see if someone's hurt or, if you have to, sitting out a year? I know that, and we all say if you're out of the year for a league, you might, or out of the league for a year, you might as well just stay out of the league. I understand the logic behind it, but we also have to accept the fact that Cam Newton is different. Everything about the circumstances around Cam is different. And just like we could easily say, well, you never trade a top 10 draft pick the year after if they're a quarterback, and then Josh Rosen happened. Like, sometimes it takes a perfect storm. Cam Newton is a perfect storm of a player that has battled multiple health issues that the team doesn't get the opportunity to look at, and is someone that they know, everybody knows, if he's healthy, is capable of starting. If I'm Cam, why would I possibly sacrifice all of those things to go be a backup somewhere where I may or may not get on the field, where it may or may not be the right offense for me, where I may or may not get the opportunity to shine the way I know I could shine as a starter anywhere else? That's the answer that we won't know until we hear from Cam. But if I'm Cam Newton, I have no problem sitting back and saying, you know what? For all that I've accomplished and for all that I've already proven in the world, I will wait for the right opportunity and not just take any opportunity that comes to me. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and, you know, frankly, also presented by me, I guess. Taking your take on what legacy affected the most because of Michael Jordan. We'll get a little more quarterback conversation coming in, but I want to get a few of you guys in. Joe in Pennsylvania, whose legacy affected the most by MJ?
Hey, first of all, thanks, Darman. Love the show. I'm surprised I haven't heard the name Steve Kerr mentioned. Steve Kerr, a guy who has a head coaching job, who, you know, is a smart guy, I'm sure, but it could be the difference between coaching Golden State Warriors and coaching the New York Knicks. They put the fact that he's a champion on his resume. So that's one that really stuck out to me.
Well, and thanks for your take on it. Also, he learned how to deal with, I mean, as a player, Steve Kerr was absolutely affected by Michael Jordan, learning how to deal with that. I like Craig. Craig on Twitter says, everyone really, but I'm going to say Orlando Magic. If they get to the finals in 95-96, maybe Shaq never leaves for L.A., and it's him and Penny with three rings instead of Kobe, which changes Kobe's legacy as well, as they wouldn't have been Kobe's Lakers from the start. I mean, that is deep dive, like choose your own adventure, but maybe the best tweet we've ever had in the history of the show answer-wise. Scott on Twitter said, Nike and now Jordan's mom, after she told him to go to the meeting. Whose legacy affected the most? We forget Nike was a startup that Michael Jordan didn't even want to take a meeting with. And now I spend half of my time when I've had too many drinks on the Nike app looking at sneakers that I don't need. So congratulations to the legacy of Nike, which was obviously a great answer. Travis in Illinois, what do you got? Whose legacy most affected by Jordan?
Hey, what's going on, Fitz? Well, I originally called to agree with a previous caller and say LeBron. He's not like those guys of the 90s. They all got their chance. I mean, to me, the guys in the 90s are more a part of Jordan's legacy. You plucked Jordan out of the NBA realm. And Malone and Stockton and Barkley and Ewing, they still didn't win a ring. So anytime you mention LeBron James' name, there's a footnote. Unfairingly, there's a footnote. But is he better than Michael? But the caller also said another name, Kobe Bryant. Do we even have Kobe Bryant if there was no Michael Jordan? He is the carbon copy of Michael Jordan. So, honestly, I'm going to change and say Kobe.
Well, and I think both answers are really smart, honestly. I mean, and you're right. A really good point on LeBron. LeBron never gets the opportunity to go in and assert his own sort of statement into this. He's always going to be fighting a ghost, which is an impossible thing to do. Brad on Twitter with the great answer, and I know you guys sometimes love to deep dive this stuff, but this is, I get this. Sonics, they may not have left Seattle if Kemp and Payton beat Bulls in the finals. I mean, the thought of and what a championship does, not just for a player's legacy, but for an entire franchise, oh, that's interesting. Ed in Pennsylvania, who you got is whose legacy was most affected by Jordan?
Yeah, no, I don't know if anybody's called in, but in terms of single players, I mean, I agree with a lot of what the callers are saying, but in terms of a single player, I think negatively, I think it's Patrick Ewing. Plain and simply, he never got by the Bulls. He never got by Michael Jordan. And if he had, Jordan hadn't been there and he got two, possibly three rings, I mean, I think you know, his perception of him would be a lot bigger than what it is.
Oh, man, you're right about Ewing, and thanks for your take on it. Ewing wins one championship with the Knicks, and it's, I mean, it's a total different level. It is a total different level for Patrick Ewing, and that's just sort of, like I've said so many times, we sit here on the NFL side, we fault so much of what Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have or haven't accomplished in the AFC during their time with Big Ben and all these weapons, and I constantly look over and say, yeah, but are you forgetting this little Brady Belichick thing that seems to be working? For an entire generation of NBA fans, or NBA players, I should say, their legacies are going to be affected by the fact that there was a wall, and it was known as Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Keep your calls coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 before we get back to your take. More quarterback conversation came as Andy Dalton is still in the news. The question is Andy Dalton going to be the Cowboys starter week one? Max and Stephen A. disagreed about that today on First Take.
I think it's 50-50. If Dak Prescott hasn't signed the exclusive franchise tag for 1 year, that's one element. They've got until July 15th to reach a deal with him. We all assume that a deal will ultimately get done, but at the same time, it's still an assumption. There is no guarantee. And if Dak Prescott is hell-bent on holding out, Jerry Jones is hell-bent on holding his position, let's look at what they've done in the offseason. They've upgraded their defense. They've re-signed their linebacker. They added another cornerback. DeMarcus Lawrence was taken care of last year. You have a situation on the offensive side of the ball. They draft C.D. Lamb. They still have Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. They still have Ezekiel Elliott and one of the better offensive lines in pro football. So even though it's not ideal, if you can send a quarterback in Dak Prescott out there making just $2 million, a year, and he had 3 years under his belt as starting quarterback coming into last season. Andy Dalton's been in the league for the last 9 years or so. Now, he hasn't had a winning record in the last four seasons, but the four seasons prior to that, he had not only had a winning record, but, you know, I mean, you're talking about a 3-10 win seasons and 1-11 win season as a starter. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's not beyond the realms of comprehension that based on the leveraging position that Jerry Jones may be inclined to take, and then you take into account Mac's history, where they had won a Super Bowl, and you choose to play hardball, albeit with your running back that was Emmitt Smith, and you had to lose the first two games of the season before you came to your senses and got him signed. Who's to say that Jerry Jones won't play that kind of game with Dak Prescott, knowing that he has at least an experienced quarterback to join all the pieces that he added to this team until Dak is willing to capitulate to him to some capacity? I don't think it's beyond the pale. That's why I say it's 50-50.
50-50? Brother, you have a 50-50 chance of getting these questions right. How do you get them wrong all the time? 50-50? Dak Prescott's franchise tag is going to be worth over $30 million this year. We're in the middle of a pandemic. People feel a lot of economic anxiety going forward. And Dak is not like he's driving a truck, Stephen A. I get it. He's made almost $5 million on the field in his career. And that's a lot of money. But by NFL standards, a starting quarterback who never misses a game for the Dallas freaking Cowboys, he has a chance to make six times his career earnings in this one season. So, yeah, I believe a deal is going to get done, meaning Dak will be the day one starter. But even if it doesn't, of course he's going to sign that franchise tag eventually and collect over $30 million. And then you look at, like, okay, what's the other possibility he doesn't start? Anyone can get hurt. There's a chance of that. You know, knock wood, that doesn't happen. Dak Prescott's been healthier than most. But then it comes down to, can Andy Dalton take his job? No, I don't think so. I think the gap between Dak and Andy Dalton is maybe not as great as some people may think, but Dak is better than Andy Dalton. Dak is the Cowboys quarterback. He'll be starting week one, barring some unforeseen event.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Yeah, Max is right. He's starting week one. I'm just saying. We're taking your legacy take. Whose legacy affected the most because of Michael Jordan? Donovan in Virginia, what do you got? Whose legacy most affected?
I'm going to say Spike Lee, because without those Jordan commercials, Spike Lee probably wouldn't have been as big as he is. That's just, you know, not serious comment, but those Jordan commercials really did something, man.
That's all.
No, but you know what? You're right about it. And look, there was a level of mainstream to all of that. It's a really good take. I mean, Spike Lee doing those commercials brought Spike Lee to more of a broader audience. We can all acknowledge that. Like, Spike Lee took a huge leap forward to just the common casual fan. And it's no different. No matter what your music or movies or entertainment is, when you can cross genres and hit a broader base, it takes you to another level. Those Jordan commercials absolutely accomplished that. I hadn't thought of that, but I like that one. Tune into The Last Dance, behind the scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast. Can't say this enough. Even if you remember it, even if you watch it, go watch Jalen and Jacoby. They're giving you some insights and stories you don't get anywhere else. That's presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I want to keep getting your take. Whose legacy was most affected by Michael Jordan during his entire run of dominance? Whose legacy most affected? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take some more of your take. Plus, the KBO had their opening day on ESPN early this morning. I can't believe I just said that sentence. How do the players and the broadcasters feel? You'll hear about it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Also on ESPN News. Heck, you can just talk to your smart speaker. Don't have to play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz, asking you whose legacy has been affected the most because of Michael Jordan. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the conversation. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Easy way to get in there. Also, we mentioned earlier the Twitter response that I got of Nike having the most affected legacy. I think that's a great one. But Nick also says Adidas's legacy, apparently, since MJ said Adidas was his favorite and didn't even want to take the meeting with Nike. That's the opposite approach of it. Like, Nike's benefit is almost as much as the loss for Adidas in that moment as they turn around and don't make anything happen. And Lamar tweets in, the Cavs of the late 80s and early 90s, he eliminated them 3 of 5 years. And when you think about how stinking stacked, you know, Brad Doherty, Mark Price, Patrick Ewing, Isaiah Thomas have all been affected of it. But when you look at those Cavs teams, they were stacked with some talent on there that couldn't get it done. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's the way you get in on the conversation for whose legacy most affected by Michael Jordan. We'll take more of your take, but let's get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that comes from Dan Straley, the Giants pitcher who pitched as part of the KBO. So he joined First Take today talking about how different, actually he joined Get Up, talking about how different the game is with no fans.
It's just weird. You know, like, you as an athlete, you really ride the emotions of the stadium sometimes when the fans get really hyped up for big important moments, you know, excited for home runs or big strikeouts, and just none of that was there. You know, there was you could really hear the dugouts, which is awkward because, you know, you usually don't get a chance to hear the other side talking too much. But just kind of in terms of like overall impact, I would say today I didn't really notice it too much just because I was pretty focused on what I was trying to do. But I think in the next few days I'll really notice how empty the place is. They were playing music during the game. Like, if you're like at an NBA game, like just like playing music, that was a big difference. Took a little bit getting used to. They did have some cardboard cutouts around, and then they had like a whole bunch of fans like on Zoom on this big video board, kind of chiming in and dancing at home along with the cheerleaders. And, yeah, just some of the fake fans they had in the outfield. It was a little different, but, you know, just again, just can't say enough like how blessed we are just to be able to play some games.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. A lot of perspective there, and that's going to be one of the interesting things. I feel like if we were getting sports with nobody in the stands, the first week, everybody be all in, right? Because you're just so desperate for something. There will come a point where it feels so strange you have a hard time watching more, right? There's going to be some inevitable breaking point for so many of us. If you're watching something like college football in a completely empty stadium that's supposed to seat 100,000 people and there's no noise at all happening in the background. I mean, I think we don't give enough credit to what ambient noise means and the effect they can have. Now, the flip side of it is the KBO gives us some personality. Eduardo Perez talked about one of the things that we previewed yesterday with Jeff Passan and the bat flips that the KBO are famous for.
I'm cool with it because that's their game, and they do it in the way that it was explained to us, and I actually agree with it 100%. This is no disrespect towards the pitcher. This is a celebration of being able to to barrel the baseball, get it up, and score that run. And at the same time, it's something that the fans really love.
First Take, Your Take. Look, I'm all in for it. You know me. I want the personality. I want all of the personality I can get around baseball. Give me the bat flips. I don't care if somebody wants to do cartwheels all the way around the bases. I want anything that's going to make it entertaining. Bring me straight major league action. Take it straight out of the movies. Make it as exaggerated as possible. If we're going to be watching Korean baseball, we might as well be having a blast while we're doing it, right? Like, this is for the sports starved, for the entertainment starved, and for the gambling starved. Those are the three audiences is really, at this point, sort of going straight towards. And if you're going to go to those audiences, give them exactly what they want. They want big personality, you want big plays, and you want the opportunity to put a little money down on it. If you want those opportunities, this is the perfect way to get that done. That's Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. We're going to see more and more of this, as frankly, it's a great opportunity for everybody to have a little bit of escapism and mostly a little bit of fun. For a lot of fans, it reminds me of what football fans have gone through in the last couple of years in picking the AAF or the XFL. Maybe you're not picking long-term relationships with teams, but you're at least picking something, someone you can dive into, you can have a little fun with, and in the process, the wins and losses won't hurt as much, and you can get entertained along the way. That's why this is a perfect fit. That's why it's a perfect time, and it's a great opportunity to watch some baseball players that otherwise wouldn't be getting any shine for what they're doing today. So it's a win for everybody across the board. First Take, Your Take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitch. We're asking you whose legacy was most affected because of Michael Jordan. Want some of your take on it. Chewy in California, what do you got? Whose legacy most affected by MJ?
Hey, good morning over here on the West Coast. You know what? You guys are forgetting Tex Winter. That's the Eli Whitney. That's the Louis Pasteur. That's the Thomas Edison. That's the Alexander Graham Bell. If his theory doesn't work, we don't know who Tex Winter is.
I like that call. Here's what I'd say. I think The Last Dance is helping Tex Winter's legacy more than Michael Jordan did. As crazy as that sounds, because we had assigned the triangle offense as a general public, we'd assigned the triangle offense to Phil Jackson. People weren't out there saying, oh, but what about Tex, right? Like, sometimes it's not the first to the market. It's the loudest to the market in these races. And there was definitely a lot more hype for Phil Jackson and the triangle offense than there ever was for Tex. So what we're getting now for people, especially for the more casual that weren't paying attention to it at that level at that time, we're getting more introduction into Tex. So long term, let's see what that does for his legacy moving forward. Let's go to DeMailman from Alabama, just because if you have "duh" as part of your name, I'm going to go for that. DeMailman in Alabama, whose legacy was most affected by Michael Jordan?
Two people, man. I said Byron and Craig Elo, man. I'm 50 years old, and I've watched Michael Jordan, you know, from the time he hit the shot in North Carolina up to the old shot. And I'm telling you, those have to be the two most embarrassing shots for guys. They played hard, man, but I remember that more than I do him winning championship, man, because the look Russell had on his face and Elo, and you brought it up last week, that Elo just had hit a big shot before Jordan hit that shot. And to me, man, and you never heard anything else really about those guys. It looked like it crushed them.
Man, you're totally right about that. It's like, you think about Craig Elo, and you're talking about somebody that had it, and Byron Russell, both of those guys had good careers. And what are they known for? You know, that's the craziest part of it, is you've had this good career, and your highlight that's going to be shown all the time is maybe your worst moment as a professional, over and over and over again. That is stunning. Let's take Calvin in San Antonio. Calvin, whose legacy most affected because of Michael Jordan?
I say Phil Jackson, because what a lot of people don't fail to acknowledge is Phil Jackson was a rookie head coach when he went to Chicago. So I believe Phil Jackson benefited from having Mike and Scotty more so than Mike and Scotty benefited from having Phil Jackson. And like a previous caller, Tex Winters was the architect behind that offense, not Phil Jackson. And by the time Phil Jackson got to L.A. with Kobe and Shaq, he was already labeled the next best thing as a coach. And that's part of the reason why Kobe wanted him, because he coached Mike.
Yeah, you know, you're really right about that. And we've had a couple of tweets on the Phil Jackson comments. And that makes a lot of sense when you start to think about what it would look like. If you don't get the championships with Mike, you don't end up with the Lakers. So, you know, for Phil Jackson, for all the success that he did have, he needed those championships to sort of catapult everything. And let's face it, his time with the Bulls that led to the time with the Lakers is so spectacular in that moment in NBA history that we just completely absolve him of any wrongdoing in taking money from the Knicks and doing nothing with them. Bobby in Ohio, whose legacy most affected because of Michael Jordan?
Man, you cannot forget about the Monstars. All right, if Jordan didn't show up, the Monstars would have crushed Bugs and them, man. So you got to remember those guys.
Bobby, you get the credit for the laugh of the day. Also, my hot take. Okay, I always have to qualify this. I'm 42. I was a big Warner Brothers Looney Tunes fans growing up. Like, big time on those cartoons. I'm out on Space Jam. And Mike Golic Jr. and I have had this very loud argument repeatedly. I'm out on Space Jam for a simple reason. The voices weren't right, right? Like, you know, unfortunately, the actor that voiced over so many of those Looney Tunes characters was not with us anymore when the movie was made. So what you had were a bunch of voices that were close to it, but it wasn't like the Bugs Bunny I grew up with. And, you know, that bothered me. So I'm out, but I'm in on the Monstars. So that is a great call on whose legacy. And by the way, I'm just going to stay off Twitter now that I've revealed that to the world. Zach in Wisconsin, whose legacy most affected by Michael Jordan?
Well, I would have to say definitely the biggest failure of not drafting Michael Jordan, which was Portland Trail Blazers. And I remember a time when it was Bulls versus Blazers with Clyde Drexler. So his career also has really, since Michael Jordan showed up, never really got to take off. Clyde Drexler was a great player.
Yeah, Zach, you're right about that. Like, Clyde Drexler, again, you know, I've said this a few times over the course of today, but I think it just is hitting me more and more that we've got to remember there was an entire era of superstars in the NBA that at times are forgettable, and their legacy becomes sort of a oh yeah, don't forget about legacy for guys that deserved more than that. But that's where it falls to when you've lived in the shadow of Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls, and the greatness of that dynasty. So you start to talk about legacy and effect, that's a huge part of it. Keep your take coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take more of your take on whose legacy was impacted the most by Jordan. And you'll also hear what Jay Williams thought about that same thing from First Take Today. That's coming up next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News, because we're too pretty to just be on radio. You can also talk to your smart speakers. Just tell them, hey, play ESPN Radio, and they'll do it for you. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you, whose legacy was affected the most because of Michael Jordan? If you missed the second hour of today's show, don't worry. It's on demand in the First Take, your take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One and a member FDIC. All right, you guys, a lot of you want to chime in on legacy. We'll get to that in a second. Jay Williams talked about the legacy of Michael Jordan, both on and off the court, comparing it to another one, LeBron, today on First Take.
When we consider the greatest of all time, this is why I think LeBron James is the greatest of all time. I think that the lack of willingness of Michael Jordan to speak out brings me to the ultimate conclusion that LeBron James putting his career in jeopardy to speak out about things that he feels are personally relevant to him and about where we are. And I do feel like LeBron James has had some mishaps. He's had some missteps. But ultimately, you feel like he is on the path. And once again, this is subjective, and this can cause people to be divided. I understand that. And Michael Jordan didn't divide people at that time as far as it relates to political things. But I do like the fact that LeBron stands up and speaks out on the injustices that are happening in the world. And when I look at guys, when we talk about greatest of all time, I think about Muhammad Ali, I think about guys like Jim Brown, and I think about guys like LeBron James. Was Michael Jordan maybe the greatest basketball player skill set that we've ever seen? Yes. Yes. And championships? Yes. But ultimately, when I talk about the greatest of all time, it's about, are you transcending and being standing for something bigger than yourself? Bigger than yourself, bigger than your sport. for things that are happening in our world. And for that being the theme, LeBron James is the greatest of all time. In that regard, he is.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'll say it again. When we have a conversation about the greatest musicians of all time, does it have to do with anything that they did other than music? I mean, if we're going to have the conversation of where Prince falls in the entire landscape of greatest musicians of all time, does what he did as an activist matter? If we're going to have a conversation about best singers of all time, do we have to hold up Aretha Franklin's activism as part of that conversation one way or the other? Nope. That's why I won't have that conversation in that light. To me, they're totally separate. What somebody's done off the court can be an added boost for how you view them off the court, but it doesn't have to mean anything to their greatness and what they did with their actual jobs. I'm taking your take. Whose legacy the most affected by Michael Jordan? Let's take some of these. Let's get to Corey in Texas. Corey, what do you got?
It's a tie. It's a 1A, 1B, and 1A is Ewing because he faced Jordan the most at the most opportune times to get there. So I'm going to say Ewing 1A, and I'm going to go Karl Malone B, because Karl Malone got to the finals and faced them twice. Nobody else has got to the finals in Jordan's era and faced him twice. So you got to put them in there equally. And honestly, I'm going to say this, a sidebar for the New York Knicks teams, any team that had Ewing on it, they're disrespecting that team. Those teams were great. They just faced the Bulls. And also, I would say that New York team would lean all over Isaiah's Detroit team, because Isaiah's Detroit team was not talented. They was hard fighters, rugged defensive players. The New York Knicks team was the same way. Very rugged, very hard defense, and they had scores. That's it.
I love the take on it, but the fact of what you're talking about, like, we don't talk about that Knicks team enough. Part of the reason we don't talk about those Knicks teams enough is because they didn't win championships, which is why that legacy has been so affected by Jordan. Jezreel from Ohio. Jezreel, what do you got? Who's been most affected?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. There's a bunch of people that's been affected. You got to think. Let's see. The NBA in general. McDonald's. I don't know if anyone remembers those commercials. Space Jam. I got to disagree with you. My dad would have never taken me if Michael Jordan wasn't in it. I think he made the movie itself. As far as his legacy hurting people, LeBron James has got to be number one. I hear the Jake Williams outtake, and I have to agree with you 100%. He's the best basketball player that anyone's ever seen. Not to mention, you got to think about the White Sox as well. No one would have watched the White Sox.
No, that's us. I like bringing the baseball in there. Thanks for your take on it. It's clever and creative. And you're right about the McDonald's portion of it too. I mean, how much have brands changed? Gatorade, how much have they all changed because of Michael Jordan? The most compelling argument to all of this in many ways to me is not the one I came in thinking. I think you guys have made a great case for LeBron James. Why? Because LeBron's the one guy that never got the opportunity to face this demon. He's just going to be held up against the standard of the ghost of Michael Jordan every single year, no matter what.